Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
So what do the Jets exactly stand for these days as we go into week 8? Most nights, people still don't know anymore, and we think that the Jets are still trying to identify themselves as a team. Granted, they have the injury bug, but I don't think we can use that as an excuse anymore. Either we're going to be the Jets and win, or we're not. Anyway, you guys are tuning in to Jet Nation. I'm Courtney Arillo. On the other line, I have Phil Sullivan. Hello, Phil.
Hi, Courtney. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Getting a little better, getting over the Patriot loss. I also don't know what the Jets stand for. I don't think it's ground and pound, but we could talk about that.
We can talk about that. Just wanted to let our audience know that this is on the phone. It's a little bit later in the week than we normally do our podcasts, just because that's how long it took for me to get over that long, long game with the loss again. We did play well. I think it was our best game to date, but a loss is a loss.
Yeah, that's all that really, really matters. You know, they played better, but there's no moral victory, so it's like, great. You played better, but it's a loss. You're 3-4 now.
And it'd be great to go into the bye week 4-4. But throughout this podcast, we're basically going to touch on, like we started off, where the Jets stand at quarterback, the problems with the running game, and we will also look at the upcoming schedule. It gets easier, although I am still worried about the Cardinals game, but that's just me. then we're also going to talk about the wonderful New York Jet Dennis Byrd and his induction into the Jets Ring of Honor. Real quick, I just wanted to ask you, Phil, do you know the words? Like, say, like, right now, I just told you, hey, sing the national anthem. Could you do it without messing it up? You don't have to, like, sound like Celine Dion, but do you know the words?
I could do, like, most of them. I would probably screw up some. Years ago, they used to, actually, when it was on, they would put the words on the screen at the stadium, so for years... Yeah, you would just sing along. Everybody would sing along. And I guess that's what you're getting at. That's what they're doing on Sunday?
Yes, we're not going to have anyone sing the national anthem for us or to us. It's going to be, like you said, more than likely on the screens. And we're singing it ourselves.
You think it's because Woody Johnson was too cheap to pay somebody?
I don't know. But you know what? If we had to use Tim Tebow for anything, maybe we should use him for that.
That could be another role.
Right before the trade. Oh, I think it was a little part of it.
All right, so let's get into the game a little bit. I'll let you start with, we said we're going to talk about the Jets and Sanchez and where we stand. So where do we stand?
Right now, I think this is Mark's best game. I think it's everyone's best game. Granted, of course, we accumulated more injuries. Awesome. He did good throwing. Of course, we had an interception. We'll see how the newly marked single plays. Actually, he was single his past game, and this was his best game. So you know what? Now we have to win against Miami. But, no, the running game, Sean Green ran for 3.5 yards and an average, sorry. Bilal Powell, Tim Tebow, the running game is non-existent for the most part.
Let's go back. So, you thought it was Sanchez's best game. You're happy with how he played?
I am.
That's great.
I'm
going to take the next couple of minutes and just bang my head against the wall. Give me a second. I'll be back. You can talk for a while.
Why? You thought it was a bad game? I don't care if people are going to criticize this. I thought
Well, I thought he, had moments that he was good. I thought Stephen Hill's drop at the end was obviously terrible, and they would have probably won had he caught that ball.
That would have definitely made us win. And I know Mark played soccer for a minute in the end zone, but he had to to fix his own mistake.
He did the right thing there. He did the right thing there. What he didn't do well is that the interception was just terrible. Stephen in the first half for a touchdown. You just can't miss that. They didn't give up points when they threw that interception. So people say, all right, it didn't cost anything. Well, it cost the Jets points because they should have scored. They had a guy open on the sideline. And then, the end of the game, you can't fumble that ball. It was a tremendous pass rush. I get it. But just hold on to the frickin' ball. Two turnovers.
No, I understand. I get that, too. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, accepting that as normality. I don't know.
Well,
but what I also don't like, and I'm telling you what, I'm not blaming this game on Mark. I'm blaming this game on Tony Sperano. And as far as Mark's performance goes, I'm not going to just, base the whole game on him. But, his coaching. I mean, coaches change the player. So I don't think that's very fair to say to Mark Sanchez because of Coach Kavanaugh coaching him. Yeah. Also, you have Tony Sperano. And I just lost my train of thought. What I don't want to see anymore, especially, just the rest of the season, Tim Tebow using him when we're, to run at 3 yards when we're not even in the end zone, when we're, 80 yards out. What's the point? And then they throw Mark back in, so it puts more pressure on Mark. Now we're, 2-10 or something like that. And, it's not fair. It makes no sense at all. It does not throw anyone off because he is running.
It's not working. So, Tebow is averaging 3.6 yards a carry. They're doing Tebow a lot on first down. Mark Sanchez is off the field. He comes back in at 2nd-and-7. That is what it is. They have Tebow on the team. The trading deadline is next week. Tebow is not getting traded.
He's not getting traded, no.
No, so that is what it is. They're using Tebow. I think what they envisioned is Tebow would come in on first down, and he would get 5 and 6 yards, and you'd put Mark in some situations to succeed. He'd be in 2nd-and-4, 2nd-and-5. That's not happening. He's in 2nd-and-7 is almost the best case scenario, or 2nd-and-8. So it's not working. They got to look at what they're doing there. But the whole running game is a problem. Sean Green on the year, 3.5 yards a carry. Bilal Powell, 3.9. Tebow, 3.6. McKnight's the only guy that has, that's running well, but he's got he's got 10 carries or something, 17 carries. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a lot, but he's averaging over 6 yards.
Jeremy Curley had a really good game. Jeremy Curley and Dustin Keller, I think they did well.
They moved the ball passing, but mm-hmm. Here's the thing that scares the hell out of me. Dennis is writing an article now, it'll be on Jet Nation very soon, about what happens to the Jets when Sanchez has to throw the ball more than 30 times. Check it out, because he's putting it up. It should be up today, today being Thursday. The Jets' record under Sanchez, when he throws the ball 30 times, it's under 500. It's just we're asking him to do things he can't. So, I know you love him, but then we go back to why is he making all this money if he's a game manager? That's the frustrating part.
Well, with that said, our defense, they held up their end of the bargain. I don't know. It's the Patriots, It's like how do you really classify Patriots? We just need to win. That's all that is what it is. Just need to win.
The defense was good. They kept Brady off balance.
Yeah,
The defense played well. But it's a team effort,
One improvement I saw, they really need to just take everything from this game and improve upon it for the next game. I just feel like this is an improving team, which goes back to the theme. They don't know who they are. They're just constantly tweaking things here and there and just to win, just to try to get that next win, It's that's what makes everything really frustrating. The offense did do a really good job, though, on pass protection. I thought, like, Mark had time to throw. But we did get an injury out of this, Jeff Cumberland. And he's not going to play. I don't think he's going to play. But I know because of his injury, we worked out two tight ends this week. I don't know if we're using them or not. But they're Joey, I'm going to mess up on these names, Joey Hanos and Colin Conhart, if I'm not mistaken. And, of course, Hanos is from the Dolphins, and I'm really sick of pulling people from the Dolphins.
It makes sense, though.
Last resort. It does, but
you pull in people.
We're still losing.
You pull in people that know Sperano's system. It makes sense. Go back for a second. Let's talk about the injuries in a second. But talk about, we were at this MasterCard event the other day, and Jeremy Curley was there, and he was awesome. He was awesome with the fans. But I know I had some thoughts on, he let his guard down, and he was just talking, and he was talking about how he felt they were getting better. And did you hear him talking about that? Like, he's just like, he felt that they played their best game. It's frustrating that they lost, like we were talking about earlier. But he told me, actually, that if they had played the Patriots 4 weeks ago, they would have gotten destroyed. So they feel like they're getting better.
He's speaking honestly, like you said, and which is cool. It wasn't even like a locker room interview where he's speaking to the media, because there's no media there that day, which is really nice. It was a really cool event overall, like with the kids and everything. That was a really cool thing that MasterCard did and that Jeremy Curley participated in. But, I said congratulations. You guys did, like, a really good, you played well on the Patriots team. And then it's, like, funny. He's, like, you see his face, and he's, like, thanks. Like, it was, like, a sincere thanks. Like, instead of just getting hounded. It was kind of cool. It's just a different point of view, fans' point of view. From player to fan, which is something you don't see too often, on the internet or hear about often. So that was really, really cool. You're right.
It's part of their Priceless New York program. It's actually pretty cool because I think they sold tickets to it for like $50. So you could go, you could work out with them. It's unique. It's unique what they do. And like you said, Curley just let his guard down. No media was there. And he just, When can you do that? He just talks honestly about what he feels. So it was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. And he ran like the 40-yard with the kids. He did like the punt kick. He like was working with everyone. It was very interactive and it was really cool. And that facility is gorgeous. And I can tell you which player has a messy locker, and I can tell you which one has a really nice and neat locker. Oh, I have to say. I mean, because I saw the locker room with everyone else, like on the tour.
Yeah, they did a nice tour of the facility. They did a nice tour. You get to see the whole facility, state of the art. It was a pretty cool night. Why don't we jump in and start talking about the injuries? But you want to run down the list of some injury updates, and then we'll
yeah, and we can talk about what's gonna happen hopefully on Sunday. Basically, we're gonna win the end. Now, so right now we have McKnight, really sore, wearing a boot on his ankle. But it's cool. I thought it was cool that he played injured. I mean, he still played well for being injured. Hopefully that's resolved in the next 3 days and he plays on Sunday at least a little bit. Calvin Tate, he got kicked in the shin. I think he's going to play. Rex said he's going to play in this conference, even though it looks pretty nasty. We already talked about Jeff Cumberland, Sione Pua. He was limited. Don't know if he's going to play yet. Bart Scott. He's been injured for 3 weeks, but he might play. Everything's, like, really questionable, so with the exception of Jason Holmes.
Let me jump in on Bart Scott. It's interesting because Demario Davis played exclusively in that game. Bart Scott jumped in for a little while on a goal line and then proceeded to give up the touchdown to Gronkowski. So, the question was, is the Bart Scott era over? And then Rex went out of his way this week in the press conference to praise Bart Scott. I shouldn't say praise him, but to talk about how he's been injured for 3 weeks, he's got some kind of toe injury, and most guys wouldn't be able to play with what he had. injured or not, I hope the answer to that question is the Bart Scott era over. I hope that question is yes. Is yes, it's over, because it's time for Demaryius Davis to just get in there.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. Well, they have Kendrick Ellis, Nick Mangold, Bilal Powell, and Eric Smith in this practice on Wednesday, yesterday. But, I mean, I don't think that's a big deal. It doesn't mean they're not going to play, you know. Nick Mangold's going to play on Sunday, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it for the injuries. I mean, you know, there's a new one every week. There's nothing surprising me anymore. But, you know, we discussed the trade deadline. It's the official deadline is moved from Tuesday to the, what is it, to week 8. So, yeah, this next Tuesday.
Yeah, right? Well, it used to be the Tuesday after week 6, and then in the new collective bargaining agreement, it got moved. They put two moves in. They put in the, right before the season, where you could take one player off of IR. And then they also did that with the trading deadline. They moved it back to 2 weeks to week 8. But like we said, there's not going to be any trades. So
yeah, so aside from knowing the words or singing the national anthem, also happening on Sunday, which is pretty cool. We're going to be honoring Dennis Byrd.
So Dennis Byrd is like my personal hero. I was at the game, so November 29th, 1992. I didn't remember the date. I did have to look it up. He was injured against the Chiefs. You know, I don't know some of our younger listeners. I don't know if anybody's ever, you know, seen the play. Dennis Byrd was coming around about to sack David Craig. Scott Mercerell, the defensive tackle for the Jets, was coming around the other side. David Craig was in the middle of them. And David Craig got out of the way. The two, Mercerell and Byrd, just hit each other head on. You know, Byrd was obviously paralyzed, went limp. And, you know, just honestly, I've been going to games since, like, 1988, and it's just the most, you know, it's just the worst day. I'd much rather, you know, everybody would much rather the Jets lose by 70 than have to sit through anything like that. Just a great person. So easy to root for. Everybody talks about motor. Like, Aaron Maben has a great motor. Like, I'm an old school guy, but you haven't seen a motor unless you've seen Dennis Byrd play. And, you know, it was a great story. He kept his faith. He's very religious. And he walked in September of 93. He walked onto the field. And that was one of the coolest games I remember being at, just standing up, you know, just cheering for him. Great story, great family man, and just happy he's alive and well. And real glad that he's being honored. He deserves it.
Cool. That'd be good to see. He's number 90, right? We're retiring all these numbers. I don't know. We're gonna go into like triple digits soon. Okay.
Well, you know, we can name a lot of numbers of current guys that won't be retired, like 57. Yeah, they have plenty that'll be in circulation. number six
two.
Will be safe for a long time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't really have any shout outs. Probably because we didn't have the show, because it was an away game. But you want to shout out anybody?
You know, I want to shout out, and it's not a football shout out. I want to shout out Alex Rodriguez for ending the Yankee season and just letting me focus 100% on football. I really appreciate what he did. He makes all that money, and you figure he'd want to hit a baseball out of the park every once in a while, but had he done that, I'd have to worry about the World Series now and all that. So he's just freed me up, and I appreciate it.
Oh, well, that's nice. I wish I could have said that like 15,000 weeks earlier, because baseball's so strung out. You'll have like 2 weeks off, and then you'll start training again.
Yeah, it's a long season. So why don't you talk a little bit about, before we end this, just, you know, we got the video going on this weekend again. Anybody wants to?
We have the video. Yeah, the video's going up, getting a lot of views. Again, a big thank you to, that's my shout out. A shout out to everyone watching the videos, listening to the podcast, any new members of Jet Nation. So we're going to be there, again, it's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, so we'll be there, I think we're filming at, 10-ish?
Yeah, 10:30 probably. 10:30, yeah.
10:30? I just got to get a beer in me first. if you want us to come to your tailgate, as always, just let us know. Shoot Jet Nation an email or, tweet to us. I do have a shout-out. I don't know who in particular because it's a couple people, actually. Shout-out to the people listening to my 10 minutes of political BS on Twitter. Shout-out to those who unfollow me. Because I unfollow me, too. I'm not like that normally, but that was tough. I gotta say. True colors showed up for a second.
All right.
That will never happen again, I promise you. All right.
I do have one more shout-out. So we're doing this podcast on the phone, but Courtney and I are on Skype. And Courtney's wearing a green hat, and I'd like to shout out whatever old lady knitted it for her. I'd like to shout that grandmother out. It's really nice.
I was going to wear this to the game.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Shut up. I look good in it.
The video is just thanks to all the fans that are doing it. It's pretty cool. We walk around with the camera crew, and like Courtney said, if you want to be a part of it, just any way. Like, we're pretty easy to get. Just the 22 different ways to reach us, just let us know. And, what's great about your tailgate, and we'll stop by and record you. It's cool.
I'm not allergic. I have no food allergies. So, you can prepare anything you want for me. I'll let you know if it's good after I try it. I'm not picky with beer. I don't really like dark beer, but, it'd be cool if someone, brought in their own, homemade beer or something. Anyway, all right, I'm rambling. So, I'm excited for that game. We need to get this win. Great to go into the bye week, at least 4-4, and hopefully, like you said earlier, it just gets easier from there. Because right now it's really, really, really hard to be a Jets fan.
You know what? Let's close out with that, because we talked about the schedule getting easier. So last thing, we looked at the schedule. They have to go into the bye 4-4. You have to beat Miami. You have to go into the bye 4-4. And then the remaining opponents that the Jets play from now to the end of the year, their combined record is 28-32. They do not play a team that is more than one game over 500 right now. Seattle, Patriots, and Cardinals are all 4-3. Everybody else is either at or under 500. So the point is, they better go on a damn run here soon and win some games and make the season interesting, because this is the time.
And I have to say, I was nervous in the beginning when the schedule first came out about opening and closing with the Bills. I'm not so nervous anymore. I'm not, because they're not as explosive as they were last year. The Bills just aren't either.
It's a good matchup.
Yeah, it's good. No, I think it's tough, but it does get easier. I'm only saying that because it's tough because of the way we're playing and all of our injuries. If we had our full, healthy, original lineup and never had, Dustin Keller out for the first three, our record, I think, would be better, and I wouldn't be as nervous. But, that happens.
Yeah, this is the time. They got to go on a run, make the season interesting, and win some of these very winnable games.
The only thing I think has been somewhat challenging real quick is that Reggie Bush will be playing this game that we have to remember. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all, but he wasn't, he was injured in the last game, and LeRon Landry pretty much made it clear to him that going down. So,
yeah,
they can do that.
Yeah, well, if they can't be, if they go into the bye at 3-5 because Reggie Bush, they couldn't stop Reggie Bush, then it's just the year it's going to be. So we'll know. We'll know either way.
So, I think that wraps it up. We covered everything. Put that loss behind us and just push on. And thank you again, everyone, for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see some of you this Sunday at the game. Let's hopefully hopefully those snowbirds don't come back and fill up our stadium in that disgusting turquoise and orange crap. Hopefully more Jets fans are there. And from Jet Nation, please follow us on, real quick, always, follow us on Facebook, at Jet Nation on Twitter, and log on to JetNation.com. And I am Courtney Arullo.
I am Phil Sullivan. Thanks, everyone, and go Jets.
Go Jets.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see your ghost.